Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com. The fourth quarter of the program is underway here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro today on what looks like just awful day outside. It's hot. Hot, gross.
Yes. This is that time of year where you walk outside and it's like someone throws a hot, wet towel over your head that says, don't breathe.
Yeah. Hot, hot.
You've got to double check the steering wheel. You burn yourself twice on the steering wheel because the first time you touch it, you can't believe it was that hot, so you go again.
Well, here's what you do here at this building when you work at this time. I normally park on the side of the building, but I'm going to be throughout the entire day today. So I park in the front of the building. In the front row, you get that good shade.
That is.
Very important shade.
But there's two spots that don't get that.
Yeah, you got to be the ones right close there. I'm right next
There's
to the.
There's two on the end.
Yeah, you don't want to go on the end. No. I'm good. I got right that good that, shade
you
right
might
now.
Might as well park on the side if you're going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
99 tomorrow. They're saying 101. I'm sorry, 99 today. 101 tomorrow.
A real 101? Like actual temperature 101? Wow. We don't get 100 a lot.
And then
anymore.
88 on Friday. So cool down a little
bit. A respite.
A little front. A front moving in.
So Curtis and I are old enough to remember the summer of 1980. Where it was like 100 for like 17 days in a row, and it was like 109, real temperature.
No AC in the Seabold house at that point. That was not easy.
Mm-mm. Rough.
A lot of days spent at the Blue Ridge Mall, just walking
cooling
around
down
in the air conditioner. A lot of movies seen that summer.
Yeah, you would.
A lot of movies at the Briarwood theaters.
You'd turn on the news at night and be like 10:25, and they'd say it's still 95 degrees or something. You're like, the sun's been down for like
80 was
2 hours.
88 was pretty bad too.
80 was rough.
88 was not.
You watch the news,
good.
They'll say, the high temperature on this date, 1980.
A lot of 80s.
A lot of them were 1980
80s
right now.
And I think 54 was another year.
Like it was when it popped up there. Yeah. So this is it's going to be 101 tomorrow. Okay.
It's July.
Yeah. It's get hot.
Yeah. It's going to be hot.
This is what we do here in Kansas
this is
City.
It's not normal, but it does happen from time to time.
It happens. We had a pretty nice week a couple weeks ago. It was okay.
And
it was pretty.
We're right back to it.
Pretty nice this weekend until yesterday. It kind of warmed up, got a little sweaty. And it's pretty gross now. As you heard there in the Sports Center, the Royals are on the road again tonight. Zach Greinke on the hill against Houston. Looked like they had a nice win. And they had that couple of them in the past week here where. Walk-off homers and, leads blown.
Yeah, Saturday was rough. As our friend David Lasky tweeted out, he'll join us on possibly on Friday. Things are always kind of juggled when we're at Tahoe. But, again, who the pitcher was that came in?
Piamps.
Yeah, Joel Piamps, closer. And then the next tweet, maybe not.
Yeah, I...
Bang.
I saw Lasky tweet yesterday... Gone. When it was 6-3 in the eighth, that he had the Royals at a 3.4% chance to win, and I laughed. And then they lost, and he continually kept changing the number to whatever.
That was rough. Walk, and they bring in Amir Garrett, who then walks two guys and gives up a two-run single, and then they.
What's
tie
better than
it,
a walk?
Then,
two of them.
And then you just—I mean, that wasn't a terrible pitch.
It was no doubt.
Jordan Alvarez is a bad mamma jamma. 24 bombs on the year. But, you want to be either further outside or bust him inside. That's when he can get his arms extended. And that was the minute you saw the swing, you're like that.
Woof. Yeah.
Good night.
Really amazing comeback win today at Wimbledon. We were sitting here watching the stuff's on early. It's the quarters. And Novak Djokovic was down, lost the first two sets, stormed back and won the final three. And the guy who was playing, the Italian center, twisted his ankle in the third, and then it was pretty easy work for Djokovic, but he looked like he was toast. Champion, though, came back and won the final three sets in pretty easy fashion, 6-3, 6-2, 6-2. Easy stuff for him.
I saw an odd stat about that was the quarters, right?
Yes.
There's been two 35-year-olds on the men's side, two 35-year-olds in the quarterfinals now three straight years. It had only happened once in the open era before that, 1972. And the last 3 years, there have been three, or at least two 35-year-old guys.
It's because these guys aren't quitting, and they're not getting younger, and that's going to continue.
And they're getting, you know, the athleticism and the training. Guys are playing deeper in their careers at a high level.
So. Mm-hmm. On a side note, do you think that tennis player whose last name is Sinner hangs out with that hockey player whose last name is Satan?
I think it's Satan. Yes. Yeah.
Just like Pagan's last name is Pagan.
Yeah. How about maybe there's a guy's last name is Saint, and the sinners and the saints could hang out. I don't know.
There we go.
The Italian sinner. But I noticed his name before, and I've never heard of him. Of course, he's probably won like $30 million in his life, because you don't hear about these guys who just make the quarters. They're just fodder for these other guys. But it was an amazing comeback. Seventh career comeback from two sets down. Third time he's done it at Wimbledon. The five sets is not over, man.
I saw this his 35th time. He's won a five set match, the most in history.
He will battle you till the end, no doubt. Wanted to mention a passing of note for people of our age, Hank Goldberg, who was on ESPN a lot, but was a real sports radio pioneer in South Florida in the Miami area. Passed away at 82 years old this weekend. Hammer and Hank did a lot of the. You know, odds and betting, things like that. We saw him on ESPN and SportsCenter. He was a very good insider, too, as far as, like, knowing what was shaking in the NFL, and he passed away.
And you don't generally hear when someone, you know, someone dies, people who don't like someone go, you know, the so-and-so died, yeah, he was a real jerk. So you're not going to hear that. But you don't often hear as much positivity about someone universally as I saw from Hank Goldberg yesterday. I mean, numerous people of import spoke of how, you know, when I first got in the business, he helped me out a lot. He did this for me. He did that for me. So, clearly an all around ace, and left his mark on his craft because of it. So,
yeah, and as we mentioned, he was, you know, we didn't have sports radio like sports radio stations here in Kansas City as quickly as they had him in some of these other cities. He was a real pioneer doing that in Miami.
ESPN Radio.
And then when ESPN Radio came around, and, you know, he did a lot of that stuff there and was a feature on, like, the NFL primetime shows and the, you know, the pregames and all that stuff. So Hammer and Hank Goldberg passed away, had lived his last few years in Vegas doing his gambling stuff because, you know, when the Supreme Court passed the rules that you could do that everywhere, he really got into that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Was certainly someone who we watched a lot on ESPN. So sad news there, but a life well lived for sure for Hank Goldberg. All right, some news here this afternoon for K-State. Big commitment from Avery Johnson, who's a quarterback from Mays, Kansas, is a number 12 quarterback by many of the ranking services, top player in the state of Kansas. And sometimes the top player in the state of Kansas isn't a top 12 quarterback. I mean, years are years, right? Like, sometimes an overall number one draft pick is LeBron. Sometimes it's not. So I'm not saying this guy is that, but this seems like a pretty good year to get the top player in Kansas if he's the number 12 quarterback in the country. His name is Avery Johnson, and he made his announcement today. Mays High School, here he is. He was asked why he chose K-State over Washington and Oregon.
It really just came down to, you know, the relationships I built from the start. I mean, they never stopped showing love. Coach Fine, I mean, this relationship I built with him was great. And then they always say, you know, go where you're wanted the most. And K-State has wanted me the most from the start. So it really just came down to all that. And at the end of the day, it was a no-brainer.
I don't know who hurt that cat at the beginning.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. You
Some
know,
screaming.
The young people. When, oh, there's a camera. It's on us. Ah!
Yeah, let's go beyond that thing. And
I don't buy that it's completely, you know, the school that wants you. I bet there are schools that wanted him more than K-State, but just not schools that he wanted to go to.
Right. Well, and I do think there's something about, you know, being close to home and all that it could be appealing. And they've got good things happening at K-State. And as I mentioned before, I do think this is a pretty big year for them. It's time to keep going.
Yeah.
Right? We've talked about this, and we rightly or wrongly, we compare classes of coaches or whatever, right? So in that year in what was the Big 12, it's still in the Big 12 now, that was Les Miles was hired. Chris Kleiman was hired, two very different hires. Neil Brown was hired, and Matt Wells was hired. Matt Wells... gone.
Gonzo, yeah.
Les Miles, gone. You know, and this wasn't 9 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, we're it's like fourth year here for these guys, and a couple of them are already gone. So at about this time, you need to start going through. And you know, Skylar Thompson was a force for Kansas State, and while he ended up getting hurt a bunch, but he was someone who was like a guy who would will them to some wins, and it was a fixture at K-State and very important to them. And they now it's like next quarterback up. This kid's not now, but you got to keep having quarterbacks. That's the name of the game in college football. You got to keep recruiting them. If you don't have a quarterback, you're in trouble. I think it's been the problem at a lot of these schools. You don't have a quarterback. It's been Kansas's problem for 15 years. They haven't had a quarterback.
This the time of this kid's the length of time, I guess, his career at K-State is easy for me to say. That's going to me being the huge chunk of time that will determine if Chris Klieman will ever. He's proven he can get 8 wins. He's proven he can keep them as a regular bowl participant. This is the time where he can. It's going to prove if he can ever get to where Snyder had him.
Well, then the wild part is, in today's world, I mean, might not be there, but for a year could just be gone. You just don't know. I mean, the transfer stuff is so crazy. You don't know if a guy's going to be gone, if he's going to get some. And Nigel Pack was K-State's best basketball player. He's not – he's leaving because he's going to get paid money at the University of Miami to go play. I mean, he's got no draw to go there. They have a new coach at K-State in basketball, too. But there was no chance for Jerome Tang to get him to play there. He was just going to go. I went to Oklahoma, right? They had the number one recruit in football in Spencer Rattler 3 years ago and the number one recruit in football 2 years ago in Caleb Williams. Neither one of them goes to the school anymore. One of them is at South Carolina. One of them is at USC. They're both at the USCs, right? But they're not there. I mean, that's just the nature of sports now at college level. So I hope this kid does well. I hope he does well at K-State. I would love it for him to be there and play his entire career there. It's what we talked about with the Kansas Jayhawks guys who got drafted, how refreshing it was maybe for some old fuddy-dud like me to have a couple of kids who went to the public high school in their neighborhood and then went to the school that was less than an hour away and cut nets down, and now they're going to get rich. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and as Adam eventually got to, the idea that – I've done enough of that in my career. Without this addition, Chris Klieman has established himself as a guy who can keep this program afloat and play important games and be a winner at K-State for as long as he wanted to. This is the guy that gives him a chance to go beyond that and do things. You can't do the things they want to do unless you have that quarterback. And now they appear to, early on, he just put the hat on today. We're not going to put him in the K-State Ring of Honor yet, but this is the first step towards getting the guy who's going to take you to the spot you haven't been yet.
And we love, you know, computer ranking or the stuff like that. It's great, but they're guesses. I mean, they're really guesses when you're talking about high school kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe he'll be great. Maybe he won't. I don't know. There's plenty of five-star guys who didn't turn out to be anything. And this is a four-star player from Mays, Kansas, who is recruited by a lot of schools, and it's good news. But let's not put too much on the kid and say, you've got to save the program.
Yeah, you have to be, you know, Josh Freeman or L. Roberson or Michael Bishop or something like that.
Yeah, it's a tough game. And who knows who's going to be in his league? I don't know.
Yeah,
hopefully he'll get to play against everybody over the next 4 years or something, because we're going to have how many people in the Big 12? No idea. But cool stuff there from for Avery Johnson, a couple big commits for K-State over the past.
Did we play the second bite?
No, we didn't play it yet. We started talking.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, we got time.
Here he is talking about how close this decision was.
I mean, it was pretty close. I feel like after every official visit I went on, I liked that school. Coming back home, and I feel like both Washington and Oregon both gave me things to think about. But I feel like whenever I really sat down with my family and asked myself what do I want in a program and what I want to get out of college, it made things really easy for me and made things pretty clear.
Big get for Chris Klieman for sure. Big get. All right, a little off the wall. I know Sorin's talked some about this. I know you guys had a guest on a couple weeks ago about the LIV tour in golf. We had lots of things back and forth from different golfers on one side or the other, and people saying things in veiled comments or whatever. But this is pretty interesting today. The Scottish Open's happening over in Scotland. That's where they're going to do that. And Billy Horschel.
That's not where the Scottish Open is.
Yeah.
It's not in Wales.
That's where they're going to do it. Billy Horschel took exception to some of the comments made about the tour by golfers who have left to go play on the LIV.
There's a lot of guys that are hypocrites, that aren't telling the truth, that are lying about some things, that I can't stand to sit here anymore and be diplomatic about it, as I have been in the past. I don't fault anyone for going to play the LIV Tour. I don't have any ill will for anyone going to play the LIV Tour. I have ill will towards the comments that they've made. Comments saying that Jay Monahan doesn't listen to the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour doesn't listen to us. Jay Monahan and everyone at headquarters is the PGA Tour. They work tirelessly for us to reap the financial rewards and have all the opportunities we have. At the same time, I am one of 200 plus members of the PGA Tour. I am the PGA Tour, just as two other 100 members of PGA Tour. So when you're taking shots at the PGA Tour, you're taking, and Jay Monahan, you're just not taking shots at them, you're taking shots at us. And to say that they don't listen is a complete farce. It really is. They can't listen. If they listen to everything every 200 plus players on the PGA Tour said, our tour would be a complete mess. We wouldn't even have a tour. And so it's ridiculous to hear some of these comments some of these guys made saying, well, you know, this allows me to play less tournaments. I've played 30, 35 weeks a year. No one's forced you to play that many events. The PGA Tour says 15 events minimum. All you have to do is play 15 events. If you keep your card in those 15 events, then that's fine. You don't have to play. If you want to play better or you want to play more so you get a chance to win the FedEx Cup, so be it. So be it. No one's made you play that first playoff event to go to miss family obligations. No one has. We're independent contractors. We do sign a contract with the PGA Tour that requires us to meet certain requirements of the PGA Tour. But we have the opportunity to make our schedule. So to say that we have to play X amount of events and they don't have time off, no one makes you. I'm on the road for 5 weeks. I've not seen my family for 3 weeks. I haven't seen them for 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks wasn't at the U.S. Open. Didn't see them in Germany. I stayed over here for London for a week. I'm not seeing them this week. I'm not seeing them that week for next week. So 5 weeks. But that is that's what my wife and I decided. That's what, when we laid our schedule out, it just worked that way. I made that decision to not see my wife and kids for 5 weeks. Am I crying about it? No. I understand. I'm living my dream, trying to play golf professionally and support my family financially. And so I'm just tired of these comments. Like, go play your LIV Tour and forget about the PGA Tour. You didn't want to support the PGA Tour going forward. Don't tell me you're going to play LIV when they go to 14 events and then go play 15 events on a PGA Tour and play in 29. That's not a smaller schedule. You're not playing less.
Golf fight.
In future news, Billy Horschel joins the LIV Tour.
Hey, it's guaranteed money over there is the thing. There's some appearance fee money that they don't get in the PGA Tour. And last place, you know, the first tournament was $100,000+. Mm-hmm. I mean, we looked at it. It was like basically finishing in like 18th place on a regular tour event.
Play one less round?
One less round. I get why some of these guys are doing it, but I understand the problems between the yes. golfers because, like, dude.
And as he said, he's not, his criticism isn't with the tour, the players that go over there. It's
Make blanket statements.
Yeah.
You know,
don't say something and then do something that goes that runs counter to
you
it.
You don't want to be in the clubhouse when Billy Horschel gets around Dustin Johnson. There'll be a scrap. I don't know.
Be throw.
We like have golf fights.
Throw down their golf gloves and
one glove off.
Yeah.
Grab the putter.
Start throwing.
Grab the mashie. I don't know. Could be trouble there. It is interesting to see how this is going to go.
Yep.
Because at this point, what's happening with that tour is they're spending money they haven't the tour is spending money that they haven't earned. It's really upfront money. Now perhaps these guys from Saudi Arabia have an endless supply of money that they can just do this for fun. They say, oh, okay, fine, I'll just go do this. We would like to have someone come entertain us here, come play golf, we'll give you money. Okay, eventually maybe they'll be like, I don't want to keep doing this, we don't have the money to pay for that. The PGA Tour is running whatever you like, the business or not, you know, not for profit, whatever. Money comes in, money goes out. It has to kind of balance. Right now, what they're doing with this tour is the money is going out and it ain't coming in, but they're fine with that because they've got enough money for that to happen. If they're cool doing that, I don't know how deep the wells are of money for these guys to be entertained by this. Perhaps it's forever. I get why guys are saying, go get the money right now. It ain't going to be there in 5 years, maybe. Yep. Maybe the tour will be gone. People went to the USFL in 1983. They went to the AFL because people paid them more money in 1966.
They went to the WFL in 1974.
The World League of American Football. I mean, they do these things. So, you know, perhaps that's something that'll last, or maybe it'll just go along the way of most of those leagues, which is what happened. They didn't all kind of make it. So we'll see. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk NFL with Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports. He's got a story that came out last week with rankings of coaches. I think Chiefs fans will be excited who's at the top of that. Here's a shocker. You can look it up yourself. It's Andy Reid. We'll talk a little Andy Reid and quarterbacks and stuff next with Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports on the program. Welcome back into the program today on July 5th. Siren Petro traveling to Lake Tahoe. He will be at the American Century Championships for the rest of the week. But this is your last little bit here with me, courtesy Bolt here and Adam Gervetta alongside. Now it's time to talk a little National Football League here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports. It's the offseason, Cody. But there's always football talk, right? That's what we've understood for a long time. This sport has kind of taken over the sports culture, and you can talk football any day, anytime, anywhere.
That's right. Yep, and that's why I'm here with you. I'm excited to be on here. And honestly, I mean, we're working toward, I guess, getting back into football season. I mean, the fact that training camps were now, you know, we're now within a month of teams actually getting back out there with pads. It'll be a lot better that we can finally see football actually being played, you know, to be able to talk about it at that point.
Yeah, for sure. And we can do it anywhere around here. Chiefs are, they cover everything, man. They are woven through the fabric of Kansas City, and you can talk Chiefs anytime you want. And you had a couple articles out in the past week or so at CBS Sports that you can check out. First one you had that caught our eye was about the coach rankings, and the second one was about quarterbacks. And I think these things all kind of go together, right? First off, you guys have Andy Reid at the number one coach in the National Football League, and that was a spot that was Bill Belichick's for a long, long time. He's still top three, but when you went through and you did these rankings, this is always difficult, right? You're doing rankings. You're going to make someone mad. You're going to make someone happy. We love rankings, and these are the kind of things we certainly do during the offseason, but what sort of things did you feel put Andy Reid over the top to be the number one coach in the National Football League right now?
Yeah, so with coaches and quarterbacks, I mean, the rankings, the way that I look at it, you know, everyone, and rightfully so, looks at the numbers, the one, the two, the three, the four. They look exactly where they're at. But I think the best way to view rankings, if you're a fan of, you know, a specific team, is just to kind of lump them into tiers. And so, you know, with the coaches, we actually did that. And so, let me see, it looks like it was the top 11. So that was just classified as like the head of the pack. So these were guys that were just, they're proven commodities. If they haven't won a Super Bowl already, they've kind of shown that they have the stuff to do that. And then below them, we had a tier where it's kind of, you know, some unproven guys, some that are maybe a little past their prime. And so I think it's important really to just see where they are in the vicinity of the entire list. And so Andy Reid, whether he was one, two, three, four, you know, the point is he's one of the best head coaches in the NFL, and there's just no getting around that. And so the reasoning for me putting Andy Reid number one is because, you know, we're trying to rank head coaches for 2022. If we're ranking coaches all time or by career records, you know, there's no, like, if Bill Belichick is the easy answer there, and he's the right answer there. I mean, you just don't you don't go to that many Super Bowls. You know, for him to have a 6-3 record in Super Bowls, I mean, some guys they would dream of just getting to three Super Bowls and losing the three Super Bowls. This guy's been to 9, and so you know, all time, Bill Belichick is there. But if you're looking at 2022, and it's very hard to separate these coaches entirely from their teams, you know. Bill Belichick right now does not have Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. And if he did, things would look a little different in New England. But if you're asking me which guy do I trust more in 2022, if I was drafting a coach to build a winning team this year, I would take Andy Reid, because I think that in close calls here, I'm also just leaning philosophically towards the guy who knows how to design an offense that can score points, because frankly, that's that's just what gets the job done in today's NFL.
We're talking to Cody Benjamin here on the program. He's a writer in the National Football League for CBS Sports about some of these coach rankings and quarterback ranking, kind of where the franchises are with their quarterbacks. And the thing you did on the quarterbacks wasn't so much a ranking, just kind of like facts and data on how many quarterbacks teams have gone through. And I think, like as you just said, if Bill Belichick had Patrick Mahomes, he would be a different coach, right? And that's kind of the point. When you look at franchises and the franchises that do well, they have stability at coach and at quarterback, right? Because those things go hand in hand. They're so important. You've got Sean McVay up there in the number two spot, and I think one of the things that's been pretty amazing for him is he's gone to the Super Bowl now with a couple of different quarterbacks, a couple of different ways too, right? A young draft pick, an old veteran coming in, and I think he deserves a lot of credit. They've moved, you know, franchises, going from city to city and new stadiums and all that. There's been some upheaval there in L.A., and he's managed to be kind of a steadying force there. But they were just like a play away from not making the Super Bowl last year. If the Niners picked the ball off, you know, the line is so fine here. So is Sean McVay, is he someone who is going to have long-term, you know, success and be up here going to multiple Super Bowls over and over and over again? Or is he someone who's just kind of struck it a couple of times? And both times they made the Super Bowl, it was like, you know, the Saints game. Play goes a different way. They probably don't go then. Niners guy catches the ball. He's that close away from not making a Super Bowl at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if you were to say you would rather have Sean McVay at, like, number five rather than number two, I think that's fine. I just think Sean McVay, with his track record, you know, he's only had five seasons as a head coach. But, man, in five seasons to have 55 regular season wins, to have been to 10 playoff games, you know, you've won a Super Bowl, lost another. I mean, the fine line thing is true, but I guess I would say that you could probably find that in every coaching situation, every team. I mean, that's football. The ball bounces a certain way, and that's, you know, there's parity throughout the NFL. Sean McVay, though, I think the thing that sticks out to me that you said was, yeah, the quarterbacks have changed. The franchise has gone through big changes, and I think Sean McVay has proven that actually the most steadying thing about the Rams and the foundation that they built is him. He's been the guy that's kind of been that glue. And, you know, you could look at other teams and say their front offices didn't help the coaches as much because Sean McVay, you know, the way that they prioritize veteran, proven starters as opposed to draft picks, you know, he's been gifted some pretty nice lineups. But I would also say he's consistently capitalized on the guys he's been given. So you think of Jared Goff, you know, he made Jared Goff. I don't want to say Jared Goff didn't have any hand in their Super Bowl run, but he helped develop Jared Goff into a competent playoff caliber quarterback. He helped Matthew Stafford bring out the best of his game that we saw a little bit in Detroit. I think of Odell Beckham Jr. this past season. You know, he got him involved the right way. And so even with all these big names, he knows how to make them work. And so the only reason I don't think Sean McVay would be a long-term sustainable winner at head coach is because he retires early, because he has the flexibility to do that because of the way he started his career.
We're talking to Cody Benjamin about the National Football League. And another I think is going to be super interesting to watch this year, you've got Mike Tomlin at number four, and he's had really nothing but success as a head coach, right? But he's also had the same quarterback, basically, other than when Big Ben would get hurt here or there. That's a great thing, right? If you know you got your quarterback, you don't have to worry about what's going on. It's going to be different. This is a new era in Pittsburgh. They were able to limp to the playoffs last year with Ben Roethlisberger, and that's a credit, I think, to Tomlin and everything that he does and the culture he creates and, you know, what Pittsburgh is all about. What's it going to be like to not have the shadow of Ben Roethlisberger over the Steelers right now? And what do you think about their prospects moving forward?
Yeah, it's a huge question. I think at some level, it's probably a little bit freeing for Mike Tomlin to be able to, you know, because as much as he enjoyed the familiarity with Ben Roethlisberger, and then at Big Ben's peak, he enjoyed, you know, obviously the skill set of a quarterback of that caliber. But there's got to be a little bit of freedom in the fact that he now isn't tied to this legacy name. You know, when Ben Roethlisberger's on the roster, he's on the field. That's You know, no matter what stage of his career he's in, he is the guy under center in Pittsburgh. Now, there's not that pressure to try and make Ben Roethlisberger work anymore. And so on the flip side, you now have no familiarity with the quarterbacks. And so whether it's Kenny Pickett, whether it's Mitchell Trubisky, whether it's a combination of both, there's going to be some even more, I think, leaning on the run game, the defense, kind of this old school Patriot Titan style football. And, you know, that has worked for Pittsburgh in the sense that they have avoided the losing seasons. They've avoided the total collapses. But, you know, if you're a Steelers fan, you're probably starting to get a little bit hungry for some playoff success again. I mean, since they lost the Super Bowl in 2010, they've won just 3 of their 10 playoff games. And so that's, you know, they haven't gone very far. And you're kind of starting a little bit at ground zero again here at quarterback. I think they've got the run game. I think they've got the tight end. They've got the defense to be a really tough physical football team right in that 8-9, 9-8 territory. The question is, how soon can they identify that next long-term quarterback?
Yeah, that's the tough part, you know, getting that done. They've got choices, as you said. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky was a very highly drafted quarterback. He's been around the league for a while. Maybe he's got new life and he could be somewhere, have success. But there'll be a lot of people calling for the kid. And that's just the nature of the biz, right? Give me who's next. We went through that here in Kansas City when Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes overlapped by a year. And, you know, Alex Smith obviously was not broken down and hurt like Ben Roethlisberger was. There was no reason to call for someone. And they was obviously had a little more proven than Mitchell Trubisky and was a great, you know, resource for Patrick Mahomes. That doesn't happen everywhere. And I don't know if Mitchell Trubisky is – he's certainly not where Alex Smith was, where he could be that resource. So that'll be the big part for the Steelers to find out who that guy is and identify him. And the weird thing, Cody, about the league is the fans want to know right now, okay? But you got to live through this year and see how that works out. And that will be the difficult part for them in Pittsburgh, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, they might have to wait 3 years, to be honest. I mean, that's just – you don't know – you know, you look at a situation like Green Bay, I mean, that's very different, but they invested, they traded up and invested a high pick in a quarterback in Jordan Love. Obviously, they are just fine keeping him on the bench as long as Aaron Rodgers is there under center. But you think of a team like the 49ers. I mean, they traded up. They invested a high pick in Trey Lance. Those are two franchises where those teams, those fan bases saw their teams study top quarterback prospects, move up, invest a high pick in them, and yet they're still total unknowns after, you know, 1, 2, 3 NFL seasons. And so, yeah, I mean, Kenny Pickett, I think everyone's eager. I mean, the guy, when you spend a pick on a quarterback like that, everyone's eager to see what he can do. But, yeah, it may well be that we're sitting here next year at this time and talking about the same thing, that maybe Kenny Pickett gets 3 or 4 starts. Maybe Trubisky gets, you know, 8 or 9 starts, whatever it may be. Flip those numbers. No matter what, we might be sitting here again next year, and the Steelers might be investing in another more proven veteran quarterback to kind of shepherd Kenny Pickett along. Things change very quickly, and people want quick results at quarterback, but sometimes it does take 2 to 3 seasons to get that right.
Yeah, it's very rare that someone steps in as a rookie and just plays and is great. The league is too hard. And the coaches are too good. Yep. The other players are too good. It's hard to do. We're speaking with Cody Benjamin about the National Football League. He works for CBS Sports. You can check his work out there online. And, you know, I think another thing, if you kind of overlay the quarterback situations and the fluidity of some of them, like the list you guys put together showed like how many quarterbacks teams it had in the last 10 or 11 years, right? And generally speaking, the ones that have had lots of quarterbacks have been the worst teams, right? Because they can't get it right. And then they probably have had a lot of coaching turnover too. And I think that a lot of times goes down to stability at the ownership level as well. And I think if you look at your top-ranked coaches, they've generally got owners who maybe they'll get their face out there a little bit, but generally speaking, they don't mess. They don't get it. They're not Jerry Jones. They're not out there doing press conferences every day or wanting to do things. And I think that if you can find what the Chiefs have right now, this combination of, you know, solid ownership who don't get in the way, a head coach who's proven, who is stable, and a quarterback who's young and solid, that's the beautiful thing. But it's not easy to do. Some of these franchises try over and over. I mean, the quarterback list you guys have, all the quarterbacks that the Browns have had and the Commanders have had and all these, they've tried. And they're taking quarterbacks in the first round, top five picks, overall number one pick. You just got to get it right. And that's the business they're in. And that a lot of times comes down to the combination of ownership, coaching, to get that quarterback right and to stick with someone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a cycle, honestly. If you think about the teams that we did a story where we were just looking at kind of you mentioned the quarterback turnover. And so we tried to look at just how many quarterbacks that have started at least four games in a season have teams had over the last 10 years. And so, you know, you're talking about roughly a quarter of the season. So guys that are having to step in, you know, for a sizable chunk of the year. And, yeah, the top of the list there who've had the most quarterbacks over the last 10 years, the Texans, the Browns, the Bears, the Commanders, the Broncos. I mean, save for the Peyton Manning era with Denver, I mean, all those teams have really, really struggled to make any sustainable impact, if any at all, in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I just think that, there's that saying, like, success breeds success. I mean, iron sharpens iron. Any of those catchphrases you want to use, I think the reverse is also true. If you're Cleveland or you're Houston and you've had five misfires at head coach and quarterback over the last 5 years, your desperation is even higher. You're probably a little more impatient. You're maybe a little bit more willing to pay a premium for a guy you shouldn't be paying a premium for. I'm all for a Carson Wentz redemption story in Washington, but that's an example of a team where they're just buying high on an asset that should be probably bought low in Carson Wentz there. And so that's just an example of, you know, guys start to – jobs are on the line. Ron Rivera, that they've relied on him to kind of turn that program around there in Washington. But at the end of the day, you need a quarterback that can get you to the playoffs or get you playoff success. And so I just think that, you know, these teams that have failed to hit on one of them, and the Texans may have with Deshaun Watson before that went south for multiple reasons. When you fail to hit on the coach or the quarterback, the front office gets desperate. Jobs are on the line. They're trying to do more. They're trying to just to force things to work. And so, yeah, you've got at the better end of the spectrum, you've had such stability, you know, where in New England, they had Tom Brady for so long. They took their lumps trying it out with Cam Newton for a year. And they've not rushed the process to try and identify a quarterback. Now it's Mac Jones. We'll see how that plays out. But there's just more patience there that's been instilled.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would really argue. If you wanted to make a list of the worst owners in the National Football League, I'm sure Daniel Snyder, if he wasn't be number one, would be close. For the off-the-field stuff that they've had to deal with that is many times his fault, to what they've done on the field, because they've tried. As I said, you know, they drafted RG3. They traded up. Big haul to go up there and get him. They tried again with Haskins when nobody said you should draft this guy. I mean, even probably the best quarterback they've drafted in the last 10, 12 years was Kirk Cousins, and they drafted him the same year they drafted Robert Griffin. Why would you draft two quarterbacks? I mean, these things are just like ridiculously silly that they do, and this is why they are where they are. This is why this storied franchise that won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks under Joe Gibbs. And he's just had so many coaches and such a mess. And now I don't think – are there Washington fans still out there? Do they care? I mean, they're tarping seats off at that stadium. And it's a lot to do with ownership, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that extends well beyond the football field. I mean, that's this entire offseason. I mean, it's been rough. I mean, for the last year, three, and you would say, Commanders fans that have been around or NFL fans that have been around for longer, they understand that the issues with Daniel Snyder, I mean, it's one thing to point at the football mismanagement, you know, whether it's just head coaches or quarterback gambles that haven't paid off. But when you've got all of the extracurricular activity going on as well, when you've got, endless off-field headlines pertaining to workplace misconduct, alleged misconduct from Daniel Snyder himself. You've got, for months now, a U.S. House of Representatives Oversight Committee digging into the conduct there in that organization. It's just not—it's not good. I mean, no one wants to, you know, how are you supposed to get the fans and the general public excited about your new quarterback or your head coach or your changing culture when all they're reading about every day is the misconduct that goes basically all the way to the top in that organization? And so, again, I mean, I don't know that, like, Terry McLaurin and Carson Wentz and these guys are, like, dwelling on this stuff when they're going out to practice, but it just adds to, you know, there's just more to look at when things aren't going the way they should. And they haven't gone very well for a while in Washington.
Cody Benjamin is our guest. He works for CBS Sports as an NFL writer. You can find him online or on Twitter at Cody J. Benjamin. That's at Cody J. Benjamin. Follow along and read his work there. Before we get to our Final Four, I want to ask you one more, Coach, because this didn't jump out to me or anything, but if I were a Bengals fan, I might be like, why is Zach Taylor outside of the top 15 or top? Well, yeah, I think you have him at 15. Why is he not up there higher? They made the Super Bowl. He's gotten better each year. I think that class from 2019 that still has the jobs is interesting to try to figure out who's who, right? You got Matt LaFleur and Cliff Kingsbury and Zach Taylor. Only one of them's been to the Super Bowl, and that's Zach Taylor. 13 wins a year is just an automatic for the Packers, but they haven't made a Super Bowl. And Cliff Kingsbury, basically, if you stopped counting in November, he'd be the coach of the year. They just kind of fall apart at the end. What are your feelings about that class, and have you heard from Bengals fans, like, why isn't our guy up higher?
Honestly, I've heard nothing from Bengals fans, which is a little bit of a surprise. You know, I don't know if it's because they're aware just of how poor his career record looks, just because of, you know, the record that, you know, he racked up before they went to the Super Bowl. Look, I think, you know, I wrote this in the story for Zach Taylor at 15. You know, I honestly, I just didn't know where else to put him. I mean, right in the middle there, I just think he's such a wild card. I think that if I were a Bengals fan, I mean, I would love the guy. I mean, the underdog run to the Super Bowl, it's just, you know, it's hard not to get behind that, regardless of how much Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase's emergence fueled that. I mean, he was the guy there. But still, I mean, I'm not going to pin everything on his Super Bowl play calling, but I think there was, you know, you desired a little bit more from him there. But the tough part really is just, that record before Joe Burrow kind of exploded as an MVP candidate, before Ja'Marr Chase showed up. I think the good thing for Zach Taylor is that as long as Joe Burrow stays healthy, as long as that offense stays on track, I mean, he's just going to keep rising up the ranking because the Bengals are going to be contenders. And so at that point, it will just be harder and harder to divorce him from Joe Burrow and what they're doing. Cliff Kingsbury, another total wild card, because I think you can see reasons for optimism. I mean, they technically have gotten better each year that he's been there. Kyler Murray at his best has looked like an MVP candidate under him, but I just see no reason to trust him until, you know, he and the Cardinals prove they can do something late in the year. Matt LaFleur, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of people just say, well, he has Aaron Rodgers, so that's it. But Mike McCarthy, you know, he had an 11-16-1 record in his final two seasons with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers was not washed up at that point. So you don't win 13 games 3 years in a row by accident. It's just, yeah, I mean, with Devontae Adams gone now, maybe they're going to need to lean on the run. They still just need that big game victory. But if you're taking any of those three coaches, just because of the track record, I'm happily going with Matt LaFleur over any of them.
Yeah, they got to win those home playoff games. Those are tough ways in. You know, the Chiefs lost, you know, they've made four straight AFC championship games at home, and they've lost two of them. That's fine, but, I mean, gosh, you'd want to win all of them. And these last two losses that the Packers have had at home have been super disappointing for Packers fans, but that's why they got to play them, right? You can't just mark them down as wins. Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports is our guest. Let's do our Final Four now, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. We didn't get into the full class, and it's a huge class of first-year coaches, so I'll just do it here. You can talk for a little bit, but these are pretty short answers. If you could hitch your wagon or buy stock in one of these first-year coaches and their situation, who would it be? Doesn't have to be a rookie coach because some of these guys have had jobs before, but a first-year coach, who do you like their chances of having success early?
Oh, boy, first-year coaches. I got to pull up the list now to make sure I get all the
I think like, we've so got 10, right? There's a bunch.
Okay, let me see here. First-year coaches. Because this guy, the one that comes to mind, and maybe this isn't the right answer for this question, but, you know, the one that comes to mind in terms of who's set up for success, I think the guy who's positioned to have a team be much better is Doug Peterson, and he's not a first-time head coach, but he's first-time with the Jaguars. In terms of the actual new hires, I mean, I think Nathaniel Hackett with Russell Wilson, just because of that pairing there in Denver, you know, again, we talked about the fluidity and just the importance of having that whole structure set up right. So having the head coach with the quarterback, I mean, Brian Daboll maybe is going to get Daniel Jones moving around better, but I just, you know, I don't trust the setup as much. And right. So I think Nathaniel Hackett would be the answer there.
All right, and number two here, is there a quarterback out there who's kind of in a make-or-break spot right now who you're going to be watching this year on, you know, contract coming up? They got to get something done, or it's going to be kind of sliding down the trail for them?
Well, we talked about him a little bit, and I think Carson Wentz is a good example. He's, you know, the Commanders aren't necessarily tied to him financially beyond this season, so they could let him go. And he's now, this is going to be his third team in 3 years, and has really kind of fallen pretty far in terms of public opinion over the last few years, you know, being an MVP candidate with the Eagles, cast off from the Colts, and now he's with the Commanders. And so this is kind of, I know this has been talked about this offseason, but it feels like the last unchallenged opportunity for Carson Wentz to be a starter. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Now, you write about the National Football League, but you also have written some books about movies, right? So is there a movie out there that you've seen recently that people should go see?
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen it already, I think the answer is easy there. I mean, I would say Top Gun Maverick is, I mean, we're coming off 4th of July. I know it came out around Memorial Day weekend. It's a perfect movie if you're a dad, if you're just a human being, I guess. I think that you know, the original was a little more silly, a little more just kind of a movie with 1980s vibes as opposed to an actual story with emotional beats in it. I think this one is, it's much deeper. It's still a fun movie to go see on the big screen.
Absolutely. Saw that one, and we really, really enjoyed it. And finally, you're from outside Philadelphia, right? You've written a book about the Eagles as well, so I assume you grew up a Philly sports fan. So for you personally, if you could have the Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, or Flyers win the next championship for the city, which would it be?
Yeah, that, I mean, I know others would probably say something different because the Eagles just recently won, but, I mean, I was always, as evidenced by my current position writing about the NFL, I was always in on football more than anything. And so, I mean, there's nothing that compares to, I think, hoisting the Lombardi Trophy in the NFL. So I would say the Eagles, you know, once you get a taste of that first Super Bowl win, you're ready for more. You expect nothing less than getting back to there.
That's been the rough part for Chiefs fans. They got back the next year, and then last year they won the coin toss. They had the big lead at halftime. They didn't get it done, but we'll see if they can make another run. It gets harder and harder each time. But it certainly is a lot of fun to watch and read along with your work on what's going to happen in the National Football League. Cody, can't thank you enough for your time. People will check your work out at Cody J. Benjamin on Twitter. You can find it at CBS Sports. Appreciate your time today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the good sense end of the hour answer. What pitcher is the Astros' career leader in wins? I will tell you there is a gap of one win between the first and second place pitcher.
The first I thought about was Roy Oswalt because he was there for quite a while. I mean, Nolan Ryan was there for a while too. But I think Nolan Ryan's time was less than I think.
Mm-hmm. True.
So who is it?
It is Joe Niekro.
Oh.
144 wins.
144.
Roy Oswalt had 143.
All right. I was on the right track.
You're on the track.
Not bad. Not bad. Danny Klinksiel, one of his favorites.
Roy Oswalt.
Loved Roy Oswalt.
Not as much as he loved Cesar Cedeno.
No, no. Well, who could love anyone more than Cesar Cedeno? No. You couldn't. You couldn't. All right. The kicker today, very big day again for K-State and Chris Klieman picking up a quarterback commitment from Avery Johnson from Mays, Kansas, four-star kid who would pick them over Oregon State and Washington. And other stuff that's happening, the college football stuff has gone crazy again. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports talking about the Big 12, looking to add some. Don't get trolled. Bob Trollsby, a fake Brett Yormark account, has fooled some people on Twitter. So watch out. What's not fake is the SEC tweet you saw, Curtis, that they're going to try to they're going to head bins out on drinking?
Yeah, it said that this was Reddit CFB, which is occasionally a fun site to follow, said that the SEC had announced that they are going to be courting new schools for their conference, and that the awards, the bids would be awarded by a drinking competition, and that clearly Wazoo was the favorite.
Yeah, I don't think Wazoo is getting the bid from anyone other than the drinking part. Maybe so.
Could be.
One of my good friends went to Wazoo, Tate Miller. My old TV photographer buddy from Channel 4 loves his Cougs, loves them. He goes out there and sits in the rain and watches them, drives all the way from Seattle to go watch them. I don't know.
I don't get that draw, why anyone would want to go to see a game of Washington State.
It's a fun place to go.
Players,
fun
whatever.
Town.
Is it really?
They say it's a fun town. It's out there on its own. It's out there on the Palouse,
clearly.
They say.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the program. Petra will be here tomorrow from the American Century Championship in Tahoe. Up next, bonus hour. Then Sporting KC Show, and then Josh Briscoe with Almost Entirely Sports. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night, Kansas City.